Good morning. Well, today is Father's Day, and Abraham is the father of us all as we are grafted in the Jewish history. God called Abraham to be the ultimate patriarch. Now, what is a patriarch? It's a male head of a family or tribe, the definition is. Now, who was Abraham? Well, he was a Chaldean. He was a 10th generation of Noah, and Abraham was brought up in the city of Ur, which is about 140 miles southeast of Babylon. Ur was a prosperous, bustling metropolis, which had a population of about 250,000 people in those days. Life was quite comfortable in Ur, especially for the wealthy and prosperous middle class. A typical two-story house of a well-to-do would be constructed of bricks and plastered and whitewashed walls both inside and out. It would contain about 12 rooms. Dominating the city, both physically and spiritually, was the Temple Tower, or Ziggurat, which was called, which was 150 feet high. For all practical purposes, such an image was treated as a living person and was served and surrounded by priests, priestesses, musicians, eunuchs, and temple slaves. Besides their chief city god, the people of Ur worshipped hundreds and even thousands of other gods. Both licentiousness and temple prostitution existed. Abraham's father, Terah, was into idol worship, as God mentioned to Joshua at Shechem 600 years later. Now, this is the background of Abraham. So it gives you some idea of where he came from. Now, what was God's plan? Well, God's plan was to bless all people on earth through the one man, Abraham. But why did he choose Abraham? He says in Genesis chapter 18, "For I've chosen Abraham so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised." So God calls Abraham, as you found out, when he was 75 years old. He wasn't a spring chicken. He said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to a land I will show you." Then God gives him a promise. "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All people on earth will be blessed through you." That's us. Now, on the way, he came to Shechem, where the Canaanites lived. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." Now, this calls for a complete change of lifestyle, doesn't it? The Lord is saying to Abraham, "Leave your comfortable life, your people you have known for nearly 75 years, your family, and go into a land where you'll be a stranger in a foreign country and you'll be living in tents. Forsake all this comfort and come follow me." Now, let's look at Abraham's character and what stands out. And I see that there's four things that stood out to me. The strongest of all is his belief. His belief and his trust in what the Lord promised him was absolute in his heart. It's as if it was engraved into his heart. He never wavered through all the things and trials he went through. He never wavered. He had embedded those promises within his heart. Even when God tested him by commanding him to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice, he reasoned that God could raise the dead. So the first thing was his absolute unwavering belief. The second thing is his obedience. His response was immediate. When the Lord made a covenant with Abraham in the flesh, he said to circumcise all males. He did it the same day the Lord spoke to him. How quick's that? Big family or in a lot of pain? When the Lord tested Abraham and said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mounds I will tell you about." Early the next morning, he saddles his donkey and goes. So the first thing that stands out, his absolute unwavering belief. The second is his immediate obedience. The third is his relationship and his ability to intercede before God for Sodom and Gomorrah. Now listen to what he's saying to God, who's standing beside him. "Will you really sweep it away and spare Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it for you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it for you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" What bold statement is that, he says to God. The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." And he keeps interceding, and he dwindled it down to 10. So his relationship, his boldness, was, and his intercession was the third thing. So the fourth, I see, is he wanted to give back to the Lord. Abraham realized everything he got was from God. And he gave a tenth of everything he had to Melchizedek, king of Salem, who was priest of God Most High and who blessed Abraham. But Abraham was human like us, and he had failings. But that did not stop God's purpose. When Abraham went down to Egypt to live for a while because of the famine, he said to Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are," even at 65, mind you. "When the Egyptians see you, then they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." But the Lord knew Abraham's fear and said to him in a vision later, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward." But later on, Abraham did the same thing again when he lived in the Negev with Abimelech. How often do we repeat doing the same thing again and again? When the Lord tested Abraham by telling him to sacrifice Isaac, he commended him for two main areas: fearing God, and he says, this is Abraham's about to sacrifice Isaac, his lovely son. And he gets his knife and he's about to sacrifice him, and the angel of the Lord says to him, "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And the second thing he commends him for is his obedience. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." We receive the blessing of Abraham because of what he did. Now, what does the story of Abraham teach us, and how relevant is it for us today? The Lord called Abraham specifically to show his family and household how to live the Lord's way. We are to do the same. We're not to rely on teachers to do all the teaching. We are to instruct our children the way of the Lord. He was a stranger on earth, and so are we. We are surrounded by similar ways to Sodom and Gomorrah even now. The Lord's promises come by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him," which you've heard in Romans, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Abraham feared and worshipped the Lord. Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord, and we are to do the same. He said, "God is spirit, and we must worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Abraham's response to the Lord's commands was immediate. I believe it is relevant for us today to respond the same way. Abraham was not enticed by worldly treasures. He was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but in heaven." He gave a tenth to the Lord. We are also to give back to God. He had a relationship with God and interceded with boldness before the Lord. Jesus tells us we are united with him and to always pray and not give up. What are we believing God for? What are we believing God for? At times, we will be called to step out in faith. Are we going to be like Abraham, or are we going to shrink back? A number of years ago, I was having a quiet time with the Lord, and he said to me, "I want you to go to Kansas City." And I said, "Okay, Lord, you tell me when to go and I'll get a ticket." And a short time after that, he said, "Now, organize a ticket, go to Kansas City." And so I said, "Lord, how long do you want me to be in Kansas City for?" And he said, "You'll be there 7 days a week." And I said, "Okay, Lord, where do I stay?" He said, "You get to the airport, I will look after everything else." So the next day, I organized a ticket. I go to Kansas City and I organize a return flight 1 week, 7 days later. So we're leading up to me boarding the flight. And I was having a conversation with a person, and I was just telling him I'm going to Kansas City in a week's time or a couple of weeks' time. And he said, "Oh, I know somebody in Kansas City, Bob West. I've got his number. Would you like it?" I said, "That'd be great." So I got, I knew nobody in Kansas City. So I got this telephone number and I rang this guy, Bob West, up. And he offered to pick me up at the airport and I could stay the first night with him at his place. But the next night I was on my own because he had to go to Florida. Sure enough, I get to Kansas City. He picks me up at the airport. He drives me home. He sits me down. He says, "Now, John, why are you here?" And I said, "I don't know." Now, who on earth would travel halfway around the world and not know what they were doing? You know what? It didn't seem to perturb him much. He said, "Let's pray." So he started praying. And he said, oh, I really believe God is wanting you to go to a meeting tomorrow morning. Before I go to Florida, I've got this very important meeting, and it's with the aid of the President of America. And I think we'll have to get a security clearance for you before you can actually go to the meeting. So I have to check you out, see out whether you could go. And they got to check me out, and it was okay, fortunately. And I went to the meeting the next day. And while I'm at the meeting, a gentleman comes up to me and he says, the Lord has spoken to me, you're to come with me. And we went down to downtown Kansas City, in the very poor area. And to cut a long story short, the Lord had organized all appointments, all encounters, all discussions, all meetings, all transport, all accommodation, all meals, every detail was organized from the time I got to the airport to the time I left the plane and headed back to Melbourne. It changed my life completely. In my own little way, it was being like Abraham. God was calling me out in faith to do something I knew nothing about. So be prepared, all of you. God might call you to step out and do something completely unexpected. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to a number of you in a completely different way that you're traditionally been heard from God. So be prepared. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for Abraham, our father, whose faith did not waver. Forgive us where we have doubted and not obeyed. Strengthen us. Engrave your promises into our hearts of your abiding presence, eternal life, the Holy Spirit, forgiveness, peace, truth that sets us free, answered prayers, love and joy, fruitfulness in good works, spiritual rewards and a heavenly home. Thank you for your divine power, which has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Jesus, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Let us not waver, but trust and obey, for there is no other way.